You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everyone. Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Orioles reporter, Brittany Giroli. And Brittany, as good as June was for the Baltimore Orioles, July started completely different way. Five straight losses, but the team seems to have righted the ship a little bit. One big reason for that this week is Chris Tillman playing the role of stopper, a guy who had really struggled his last three starts going into Tuesday, suddenly steps up big time, seven innings, one earned run, gets the Orioles back on track, exactly what you need from your ace.
Yes, exactly what they needed. And when you look at this team, it's really been a struggle, I guess, all year, starting pitching-wise, but boy, did they need a good start, and Chris Tillman gave it to them. I think being able to salvage that road trip a little bit, Tim, winning the last two games, especially that really long game, the final game of the whole road trip, and being able to come away with a 4-5 road trip after losing five in a row to start things off, or not start things off, but in the middle of that trip, I think was probably really, really big for their morale.
So obviously the stopper performance for Tillman is big. His three starts before that, when he was 1-1 with an 8.59 ERA, may have cost him a shot at the All-Star game and a chance to pitch in San Diego. But that said, the Orioles have plenty of players headed to the West Coast for the All-Star game. Manny Machado will start the game. It's his second All-Star appearance. Mark Trumbo, obviously leading the majors in home runs, he'll be there. Also will be in the home run derby. Matt Wieters is headed to San Diego. And then Zach Britton is in his second straight. He's been so good closing games down, 0.76 ERA. But we talked about it last week. Brad Brock has been so good. And we both kind of thought he'd maybe be left off, Brittany. But at the end of the day, he gets to the All-Star game. What a great story for a guy who was a 42nd-round draft pick once upon a time.
Yeah, really cool story. I'm glad you mentioned it. It was really kind of a feel-good story all year in the Orioles clubhouse, and nobody was too sure if that was going to translate over. You thought if he had a chance, it was going to be Ned Yost selecting him, and that, of course, is what happened. But really, really cool. Manager Buck Showalter told his wife, who snuck away, went to the bathroom on the phone, came out and told Brad. And you know, there's not a whole lot of good news that gets to be delivered, I think, when you're Orioles manager or really any manager. So Buck seemed to really be delighted that Brad Brock had made it. It was pretty cool to talk to him. I think he's still in shock a little bit, but a very, very good turnout for the Orioles.
Yeah, and it's interesting the way the two managers formulated their teams, because the National League team is a lot of starters, not as many relievers, but Ned Yost, the guy who knows a thing or two about having a good bullpen with those Royals, of course, goes with more relievers, and that certainly helped out Brock. Now, as for Trumbo in the home run derby, of course, the way it works changed a little last year. It's single elimination, bracket-style home run derby. And Trumbo, the top seed because of the 26 home runs, he's been in one of these before. Brittany, is he a confident guy heading into the home run derby?
I don't know if confident's the right word for it. I think Mark Trumbo is a very smart guy, and I think he really just wants to have fun. You know, he doesn't really have a strategy or anything. He was asked about that. I think he just wants to go out there, hit home runs, and enjoy the experience. He's not a guy who puts too much stock in things that he knows at the end of the day doesn't matter. He really cares about his team, about going to the playoffs, and he's really been like that all year. I've been really impressed with his mindset and the way he carries himself.
And he will go up against Corey Seager, the Dodgers rookie, in the first round, and then, of course, we'll see where it goes from there if he can get past Seager tries to win it. Of course, a year ago, Todd Frazier was the one who came out of this thing as the first-time winner of this new system. Brittany, you mentioned them finishing the road trip well with the two wins over the Dodgers. Now they're home Friday night. They start a home series against the Angels. Three big games heading into the All-Star break. You have the Blue Jays kind of nipping on the Orioles' heels. They've won six in a row. They're only two back. How big a weekend is this for the Orioles?
It's really big. I think it's big from here on out, honestly. As you mentioned, Boston, Toronto, not far behind. I mean, it just seems like this whole thing is going to be a dogfight. And if you're the Orioles, you see that window, and you know that every game is an opportunity to put a little space or at least stay even with where you are. So they're going to approach this as a big series. You've seen what the Angels lineup is capable of doing to certain teams on occasion. You know the Angels are going to be a tough fight in here. You know both clubs want to finish that first half strong. So I think from here on out, every series is going to be pretty big as we look into the second half here.
Ian, nobody has more All-Stars than the Red Sox headed to San Diego. A lot of them starting. I mean, it's pretty cool. Six All-Stars, four of them starters. Third time ever that the Red Sox have four starters in the All-Star game. The last time back in 2005. So your All-Stars are Xander Bogaerts, David Ortiz, Jackie Bradley Jr., and Mookie Betts. Those are the starters. And then a couple of arms, Stephen Wright. That's a feel-good story. The knuckleballer, obviously. And then Craig Kimbrell, who... maybe a guy who's going to get a little slack for being an All-Star this year, just because when you look at the numbers, but he was the manager's selection, Ned Yost going with Craig Kimbrell, and trying to go with a real power bullpen at the end of that game. So we'll see how that goes as far as fan reaction to Kimbrell. But overall, six All-Stars, the chance for a seventh with Dustin Pedroia in the final vote. This is a pretty cool summer, pretty cool year for the Red Sox as far as San Diego.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun than last year, you know, when they only had really Brock Holt, who wasn't even a starting player for the team. You know, with their only All-Star as a utility player. So this is, you know, a lot prouder moment for the organization. A sign that, you know, even though there are some problems, nothing's perfect right now. But, you know, if you look at the big picture, things are a heck of a lot better right now than they were at this time last year.
And then I mentioned Pedroia in the final vote, and in the final vote, something that we've had around for a while now, and it gives a chance for fans to vote one more time to get a player, a fringe player that's on the bubble as far as the All-Star game goes, to get in. And if you want to vote for Dustin Pedroia, it's hashtag vote Petey, and that's Petey the way you expect for Pedroia. So it's VOTEPEDEY, vote Petey, to get him into the All-Star game. And I would think that he's got a pretty good chance, because Red Sox Nation tends to vote pretty good in these.
Yeah, you know, you've seen cases of before where, you know, Johnny Damon on the first ever final vote. That was how he got to the All-Star game. And then Jason Barrett took the next year. And even Hideki Okajima had two countries voting for him in 2007 to make it as the final vote guy. So, yeah, I'm sure Dustin Pedroia has always been a popular player. And I'm sure that, you know, a lot of people will be breaking out the vote for him. It'll be interesting to see how that whole thing transpires. A lot of guys in the Red Sox clubhouse feel that Pedroia has had an All-Star season, and he's been a little overlooked by, you know, both some of the younger guys and the older guy in David Ortiz.
I think it's kind of hurt him that there's so many other guys, for sure, but he still has a chance to get there. As for Kimbrell, not good timing on Tuesday, Ian. Four earned runs to bump his ERA up to 3.66 on the season in yet another non-save situation. We've talked about this before and how it doesn't really make sense with Kimbrell, yet it keeps happening.
Yeah, you know, I don't really know what to make of it, because, you know, I could see in the case, I remember Jonathan Papelbon was a case where if he would come into a game, you know, where they were ahead 9-4 or they were down 9-4, he would really lose concentration in those instances and not pitch very well. But some of these games, Kimbrell's been involved in. I mean, yesterday is a one-run game when he comes in. He's had a lot of problems in tie games. So, I mean, if he can come in with the pressure of a one-run lead and, you know, do well in that, I don't think you can't say, oh, it's just because there's no pressure on him. There's still pressure on him. There's still adrenaline, and he's just not getting it done. And the thing that continues to kill Craig Kimbrell this year, and the thing that he's got to fix, he's got to stop walking the leadoff guy.
Yeah, and his first batter, it almost relates to the starting rotation and the first innings they've had. It's just been bad beginnings for the pitching overall. So back to the All-Star game a little bit, Bogaerts, Bradley, Betts, obviously the killer bees, so to speak. They're going to be in a lot of these, I think, over the next 10 years or so. But this is it for David Ortiz, obviously his last All-Star game. Do you expect we've seen this in All-Star games in the past when it's a guy's final season, a little extra special. Do you expect that around Ortiz a little bit in San Diego?
Yeah, I think so. You know, whether or not they do a ceremony like during the game, like they did for, you know, Derek Jeter or Mariano Rivera, I don't know quite if it's going to get to that extent, but there's going to be a lot of focus on it. Like, this guy has been a face of the Red Sox, a face of baseball, really for the last 12 or 13 years, and definitely one of the fun-loving guys in the game, and a guy who loves being an ambassador for the game. So I think you know, he'll get the attention that he deserves out in San Diego.
And you know he'll be there at the Home Run Derby. He doesn't partake in it anymore, but he's always there with the Gatorade, with the towel, the head cheerleader, basically, for the Home Run Derby and the American League squad. That's always fun. And I think he's kind of added something to the home run derby with his presence over the years, and even when he hasn't been in it, because he just adds that fun and a little extra level to it.
Yeah, he's got a personality that's unlike anybody else in baseball, really. And you know, you'll definitely see that. I agree. You see that Monday night at the home run derby. I think a lot of fans would love to see him swing to the fences and be out there one more time in the derby, but he just doesn't want to do that. And he's actually managing his sore feet for quite a few weeks now, so he wants to stay off his feet as much as possible. So you won't see him in that home run derby.
Brian, Yankees with three players as of now headed to San Diego for the All-Star game. Dellin Betances, Carlos Beltran, and Andrew Miller. All right, 3, 2. Hey, everyone. Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Yankees reporter Brian Hoke. And Brian, three Yankees headed to San Diego for the All-Star game. Dellin Betances returns again. He's got a nice little run going here. Carlos Beltran gets back to the All-Star game, and then Andrew Miller as well. So the bullpen getting plenty of credit, and the bullpen has been great. No Didi Gregorius or Chapman. I know that Girardi kind of pushed for those guys as well a little bit, but I think at the end of the day, you see those three guys headed. Fans can't be too upset. Those guys deserved it, and then maybe the other guys were fringe.
They did, and they did. And I think that it's funny, but Betances and Miller were most happy for Beltran getting back to the All-Star game. He's 39 years old. He's been the most productive player in the lineup this year, and we were talking to Beltran about it in Chicago afterward, and he kind of looked around and he smiled and he said, "You guys are making 39 sound like it's some terrible thing." And the way he's been hitting, he has proven that age is just a number. And so they're all excited to go together. Miller was excited that he can kind of bounce questions off Dellin and ask where he should be, what he should do. And the Kansas made it three straight years here. So that's pretty impressive, especially for a guy. He was saying he struggled in the minor leagues. He never made it to any of those All-Star games down there. But now he's doing it in the big leagues, and I think that's a testament to how hard he's worked and the transition to the bullpen and how good that's been for him.
And three straight All-Star games without being a closer. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's something that Miller was talking about, too. And he said that you look at this team, and sure, they got a guy in the ninth inning, Chapman, who can throw the ball at 103, 104 miles an hour, but they picked these other two guys, and I think that's a testament to what's going on around the league. You look at the blueprint that teams like the Royals have done and how that's paid off, and that's going on all around the league. So you don't necessarily have to be the closer to go to the All-Star game. Once upon a time, it was kind of rare to see a setup man get there. It's not rare anymore, and Betances and Miller are just the latest examples of that.
I would think Chapman, with a full season, probably would have been an All-Star as well. Obviously, he's been dominant, but with the suspension, just not enough pitching to warrant a trip. How about Didi and the fact that Girardi pushed for him? Obviously, we've seen Yankee shortstops at the All-Star game, but I feel like Didi's been under the radar a little bit outside of the city of New York.
That's possible, but I'll tell you, watching him on a daily basis, do you remember how lost he looked at the beginning of last year? You don't see that guy anymore. He did have the one day here with a quick turnaround when they got to Chicago. He made three errors. That was very uncharacteristic of him. And that's something that wouldn't have seen all that out of place early last year. Maybe he was trying to do too much, taking over for Derek Jeter, impressing a new team. But that's all faded away. And on both sides of the ball, he's been one of the most consistent players, if not the most. So shortstop's such a deep position in the American League that I never really thought that Didi was going to get there, but he deserves recognition for sure. So I think that let's not rule out that Didi Gregorius could make an All-Star game at some point in the future.
The Yankees still sound very much like a team that doesn't want to be selling at the break, and we obviously heard plenty of rumors about the relievers, but now you start to hear a little Carlos Beltran, especially with him getting a nod for an All-Star team. Now, he has a partial no trade, so he has a little say in that. And he came out this week and said he doesn't want to be traded. You know, he thinks this team can still contend, and he's loved his time in New York. He wants to finish out that contract.
I think that's what you want to hear if you're the Yankees. You don't want to hear a guy banging on the door and saying, "Get me out of here." And I haven't gotten that sense from anybody in that clubhouse. But, you know, Brian Cashman's been saying, look, they believe that on paper this team is better than what they've shown. But at some point you got to look here and say, all right, it's early July. They're still struggling to get above 500. They really haven't gone on that extended run to get them where they need to be. And so if that's not going to happen in the very near future, they need to make some tough decisions. So I think that if things continue the way they are for the Yankees, they really should look into trading those guys. I know the Yankees are taking offers. They're listening. That doesn't mean they're going to pull the trigger on anything, but they are certainly open for business in that way. And if things don't turn around in the next 12, 14 days, certainly after the break, if they come back and they're playing the same way they are now, you really got to look at it and say, all right, this team's not going to win the World Series this year. What can they do for 2017, 18, 19?
There are some reasons to be a little bit optimistic here with guys coming back, guys starting to play like you thought they would. Mark Teixeira is healthy and hitting home runs again. He gets to 400 and 401 on Sunday. He's the fifth switch hitter to get to that milestone of 400 home runs. But this looks like the Mark Teixeira I think the Yankees thought they were going to have all season.
Yeah, I think this is closer to what they thought. And you look at the numbers, what he put up in not even a full season last year, and he was among the better first basemen in the league. So they were counting on that power presence, him and Alex Rodriguez back-to-back. I think those guys combined for 64 homers last year. You're not going to get that out of them this year, but Beltran's picked up the slack. They've gotten some power production from other players in the lineup. McCann's been in and out, up and down. They're getting it from certain places, but certainly if Mark Teixeira can come back and be that kind of guy again, they're going to have to be cautious with it. You already saw Girardi rest him once because he played 4 days in a row on that bad knee. They play Rob Refsnyder at first base. They're probably going to have to continue to do that just to keep Teixeira off the disabled list. And if he has to go back on, you're probably looking at surgery and the season's over. So they really need to be cautious with that. But so far, so good as far as Mark Teixeira is concerned.
Bill, leading up to the All-Star announcements, we had talked about, you know, the possibilities of Colomé being an All-Star, of Evan Longoria being an All-Star, and now there's a chance they could both head to San Diego, which is pretty cool. But I think Colomé was the guy that stood out to me because of how much he's done being thrown into a situation. Wasn't expected to be the closer of this team heading to spring training. He gets put in that spot, and he's been so good, and he's headed to San Diego as an All-Star. How excited was he to find out that he's going to be an All-Star?
He was very excited. In fact, it was funny yesterday. He told us that he got called into the manager's office, and he said, I don't like to be in the manager's office. And he said, no, it's okay. It's nothing bad. So then he told him that he'd been picked for the All-Star game. He was a manager's pick. And, I think he has done extremely well based on, first, you got to remember he came up as a starter, and then he really didn't raise a big stink when he got moved to the bullpen last year. He kept a good attitude, and by the end of the year, he was a critical piece to the bullpen. And then, of course, he started this year as the closer. And when Boxberger came back, Cash was ready to give Boxberger the job, and then Boxberger got hurt his first outing. And all Colomé does is just keep on clicking. I mean, he's 19 out of 19 on saves, and just keeps getting it done.
Yeah, if anything, the only problem he's had is not enough save opportunities with the way the team has struggled a bit lately. And the bullpen has struggled without Colomé. Now he comes back. How much of a lift can he give the team just being back healthy again after a stint on the DL?
It's a big lift because the bullpen has really been running on fumes lately. So he got in last night. You know, he'd been on the DL, as you said, and with a little biceps problem. Got in last night. They used him in the eighth, I think, just to get him a little work. And, of course, he pitched a scoreless eighth. And so I think it's going to matter in games where, you know, the game's on the line at the end of the game.
Now, the other possible All-Star is Evan Longoria. He's part of the final vote in the American League. So Rays fans can get out there and vote for Longoria and get him to San Diego. I've found in the last few years, Bill, if you're in that final vote, those last five guys, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to get there, whether it be the vote or whether it be a replacement for somebody who gets injured. But Rays fans can get out there. The hashtag is VoteLongo, hashtag VoteLongo on Twitter to vote for him, to get him to the American League, to the All-Star game as an American League player. He's a guy who's been there before, but obviously it had been a few years. He just has to feel a little bit of redemption this season, I would think, Bill, because I think people talk about him having down years. I don't know if they were as down as people kind of criticized him for, but this year Longoria has been great.
Yeah, and I think when you say down year, I think you're more mentioning a down year for Longoria, not
right.
down year. he's been super this year. He told me earlier this season that he made a couple of adjustments that's allowed him to see the ball a little better. And after doing that, it's just, everything felt really good. And, you know, he looked for that all last year and never really did find it. So he's very encouraged about the way he's playing and the way he's hitting the ball.
Chris Archer, a little encouraging start on Sunday. Obviously, it's been such a tough go for him start to start this season. But 5 2/3, 3 hits, no runs, and he struck out 10. Now, he threw a lot of pitches in those 5 2/3 innings, but most of those were early. Archer's a guy that this year has really struggled in that first inning, and he did again on Sunday. He loads up the bases with nobody outs, but the difference this time around is he gets out of it, and then he's able to settle down. What do you think that does for his psyche moving on to his next start?
Well, also, you want to point out, too, that he's had a 10-something ERA in the first inning this year. So, you know, it looked like more of the same, and yet he reached back against a tough Tigers lineup and struck out the side. And then he had 50 pitches through 2 innings. And still managed to get through almost through the 6. In fact, he was looking, he was right at 90 starting the 5th or after 5 innings. So, by that point, he'd kind of, resurrected his pitch count, and he was actually hoping to get through 7. But I thought it was a good outing for him, and it could bode well for him in the second half.
Gregor, the Blue Jays have won 4 in a row now as we record this on Wednesday. They've actually moved past the Red Sox into 2nd place in the American League East. And no one was hotter than the Cleveland Indians, and the Blue Jays able to take 2 of 4 from them. And I think they showed something in bouncing back after a 19-inning loss where they had lost the first 2 games of that series. They bounce back the next day, they win, and then they end up splitting the series, showing some heart there when they could have kind of this close to the All-Star game, 19 innings. Obviously, everyone's exhausted. The pitching staff's burnt. But they were able to rally and take 2 of that series.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was a couple of years ago, the Blue Jays really kind of did bury themselves going into the All-Star break, and that's exactly what you don't want to do. And, that series against Cleveland was big. Obviously, they would have loved to have won that 19-inning game. John Gibbons, he was ejected by that time, but his coaching staff took a little bit of heat for the fact that they used a couple of position players in a tie game and kind of gave that one away. But what proved to be true is that, they might have lost the battle, but they were still in the war. And because they were able to survive the rest of that series, their pitching staff remained relatively intact, and they got some good performances from their starting rotation. And it showed some heart, and Troy Tulowitzki touched on it after that. The first win of that series was, they could have just kind of, a weaker team or a team that wasn't as mentally strong might have just kind of folded up the 10 at that point. But they were able to battle back in a big way, and it's kind of played nicely into a strong stretch right now.
Yeah, and I think you can kind of say this team is basically right where they would want to be, I think, within the division. They're within striking range of the Orioles, and who knows, they could be right there with the Orioles. Baltimore's struggling a little bit right now by the time we reach that All-Star break. And speaking of the All-Stars, officially announced on Tuesday night, and for now, 3 Toronto Blue Jays headed to San Diego with the possibility of more. Josh Donaldson, no surprise there, and he celebrated the selection with a couple of home runs on Tuesday night. He's now got 22 on the year. Edwin Encarnacion driving in so many runs this season, and he's a guy that's always a threat to be an All-Star. He gets there, but I think the best story is Marco Estrada. We've talked about it a couple of times, I think, leading up to the selection, how much he deserved to be an All-Star, and you weren't sure whether or not he would get recognized, but at the end of the day, Marco Estrada is an All-Star. How excited was he to be headed to San Diego?
He was really excited, and it was kind of a cool moment to see. You could tell that it was something that I think he knew there was a possibility, but Marco Estrada doesn't get the type of attention that he probably deserves, and getting on the All-Star team might help him with that. But going into this week, he kind of didn't really know, because while his numbers stack up there, now for the last year, amongst the best pitchers in baseball, he's often not in that conversation, at least outside of Canada. A lot of times, up here he does get his fair share, but elsewhere he's been a bit of an under-the-radar type guy, and it's very rewarding for him. This is a guy who deserves every bit of it. It's kind of remarkable how few hits he gives up, setting a major league record earlier this year with 12 starts in a row of at least six innings and five hits or less. Opponent's batting average pretty much all year has ranked number one in the major leagues. This is a very, very deserving nod for a guy who, needed his due, to be frank.
Now, he is nursing a back issue right now, may not pitch on Thursday. What is the latest on that situation?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one to watch. And, regardless, he's definitely going to be headed to the game. Whether or not he pitches, I guess we'll find out probably over the next 48 hours or so. He received four cortisone shots into his back, into two separate joints on both sides of his lower back. And it's similar to what he went through in spring training. Obviously, he had a bit more of a luxury of taking an extended break in spring and took his time coming back from that cortisone shot. But the last time he did get it, he said that the back issues kind of turned a corner 3 or 4 days later. And so what I think the Jays will probably end up doing this week is they'll probably end up pushing his start back. And you'll probably see a spot outing from Drew Hutchison, and that will buy Estrada at least one extra day. And then that will probably be enough for him to make his final start before the All-Star break. And then going into the break, they'll see how he recovers from that as to whether or not the team gives the okay for him to actually be used in the All-Star game.
Now, the fourth possible All-Star as far as the Blue Jays go is Michael Saunders. He's part of the final vote this year in the American League. And the hashtag is, well, it's a long one, but hashtag vote Captain Canada if you want to get those votes in for Michael Saunders and get him to San Diego. And we talked about him last week too, I think, Gregor, and how much he would deserve the call to San Diego if the fans can step up and get him there.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was kind of one of those bubble guys, but he's definitely deserving to be in the conversation. To me, the most remarkable thing about his season, well, besides the fact that he's been the consistent performer from start to finish for this team and has been able to remain on the field and has done a great job with it. But when the Blue Jays offense was struggling early this season, he was one of the main things that was keeping them afloat. I mean, this is a team that really struggled to score runs in April. Saunders was one of the few hitters in that lineup who got off to a really fast start, and he's been able to keep it going. I mean, when you look at his offensive numbers compared to the rest of the outfielders in the American League, and he ranks right up there with all the top guys. And it's a really impressive year for him. He's described it in the past of it being kind of a redemption year for him after he missed basically all of last year. But and John Gibbons probably put it best earlier this week. He said that to be honest, he didn't know that Michael Saunders was this good of a baseball player, and I think Michael Saunders is finally getting the opportunity with both the health and playing time and production to show exactly what he can do, and it's been good to see for Blue Jays fans this year.